I don't have to tell you that life is not always kind. And in that moment, there's always a choice that you have. And taking that high road is often an inside job. And my guest today, Kena Paranjapi, is the founder of All You Are, and her journey is one you don't want to miss. Welcome to The Road to Seven. I'm your host, Sheila Cummins. I am an entrepreneur, a mentor, an investor, a wife, and mom to three beautiful children. Women entrepreneurs are up-leveling and changing the rules for business strategy, leadership, success, money, and impacting the world every single day. The Road to Seven is the diary of business strategy for women entrepreneurs. We meet you where you're at in your business and champion you along the road to your vision. And I am honored you chose to join us today. Ready to go? Buckle up. It's time to hit the road. Kena is the founder of All You Are, an empowerment platform and community for women. In addition to founding All You Are, Kena is the co-founder of the recently acquired Bricka, an innovative retail concept focused on highlighting and supporting emerging artisans and designers. Kena has 20 years of experience in retail at brands like Indigo, Joe Fresh, and The Gap, as well as a high-end eco-friendly boutique concept. She was most recently the VP of merchandising at Houseplant, Seth Rogen's cannabis company, where she was responsible for bringing to market their award-winning cannabis accessories collection. Kena is originally from the East Coast and now lives with her six-year-old daughter in Toronto. She has a Bachelor of Science from McGill and an MBA from the University of Toronto. This is a conversation you won't want to miss. I hope that you enjoy it as much as I did. I was introduced to my guest through one of my colleagues here at The Road to Seven, and she had been reading Kena's story and just was so touched. She immediately sent me a note and said, Sheila, you must interview this woman. Her story is incredible and our listeners need to hear from her. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. So Kena, first of all, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Sheila. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. I'm just going to just open the door here. I know you haven't always been the founder of All You Are. Mm-hmm. Could you just tell us how it came to be that you do the work that you do?
Yes, absolutely. It's funny because when I get asked this question, I'm always like, how far back do I go? You know? So I guess just quickly, I grew up on the East Coast of Canada. My parents immigrated from India in the 70s. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of cultural diversity where I grew up, but it was like a very warm and lovely place to grow up. Although I would say I did feel like an outsider a lot of the time. And I don't think it was necessarily a race thing. I think it was, you know, just children have different paths or experiences as they grow up. And for me, there was a pivotal time when we moved from Nova Scotia to Newfoundland, where, you know, it's that time where girls are going through a lot of changes and are, you know, particularly vulnerable to their surroundings and to needing to be accepted. And it was during that move that I suddenly did not feel accepted. And, you know, having been a very confident, outgoing child up until then, it was very kind of shocking to me and difficult for me. And I realized upon hindsight that much of the path that I laid out for myself from that point on was to counteract that feeling of not belonging, right? Like I just did everything I could to show everyone, including myself, that I belonged. So, you know, by high school, I was nominated student council president. You know, I went to McGill. I ended up working in, I did my MBA at U of T. I moved to California and ended up working at Gap Inc. So in the fashion industry, very much a dream job living in San Francisco. And I'm very much proud of all those things. And they were definitely desires that I had based on, I think, just my personality and drive. But there is definitely a component of feeling like I needed to prove something, right? That drove a lot of that. And it was when I was in California with my husband, who had been my high school sweetheart. We were both working there and he was away on business and suddenly became ill. And it was one of those moments where, you know, everything changes in a single phone call. And I had to drop everything and go there, not knowing that when I got that call, when I got on that plane, that it was literally changing the course of my entire life. I thought, okay, he's not well. I have to go. He'll get better. I'll come back. Life will go back to normal. And that's not at all what happened. So essentially, I got there and he had developed this very severe pneumonia. And to the point where the doctors were like, we are not sure if he's going to make it. And he ended up being in the ICU for 4 months. And, you know, obviously dropped everything, work, all of it. And it was in this other city for 4 months. And when he was able to recover enough to leave the hospital, he wasn't back to normal. He had some serious medical conditions that had to be managed over the years and that would deteriorate his overall health over time. So we lived with that knowing. And over 8 years, he was in and out of the hospital. We moved back to Toronto at that point, and he was in and out of the hospital. And in 2014, so 8 years, you know, from the time he got sick the first time, he passed away. And so that 8 year period, imagine we were both 30 when he got sick and 38 when he passed away. The way you think about life in your 30s, right? Like you think about buying your first home, having children. And of course, it does not work this way for everybody, but it's sort of the life you imagine for yourself, right? Like growing in your career. And the fact that it was such a long period of time meant that I really had to learn how to navigate it because it wasn't going to be over in 6 months, right? It wasn't one of those scenarios where something's, it's 6 month period and then you go back to normal life. I had to live my life while all that was happening. So while that was all happening, I continued to work. I led the women's business at Joe Fresh when we moved back to Canada. Then I went to Indigo where I'd been years before and helped Heather, the CEO at the time, launch a new eco-friendly concept called Pistachio. So I did that for a few years. And then I launched my own startup, co-founded my own startup called Bricka with a co-founder. And I did that for 6 years. And when I left there, I had actually started All You Are, but the version of All You Are then was based on this product idea that I'd had, which was to design the perfect women's robe. And so that's how All You Are began. But when I launched that business, I knew I didn't want it to be full-time. I knew I wanted it to sort of just be a passion project and see where it goes. So I next took a role with Houseplant, which was Seth Rogen's lifestyle cannabis company. And I spent 3 years as the head of brand and merchandising, helping bring his whole product vision to life. And basically a year ago, I left that behind and fully committed to what All You Are is today. So that is a very long journey.
There's so many pieces in there. And yes. I'd love for you to tell us about All You Are. And then I'd actually love to come back and just pull some of the pieces of your journey into it, if that works for you.
Yes, absolutely. So I always tell this story because it's not like the current model for All You Are came to me clearly. It was very much an evolution. And I feel like the moment when I realized that I needed to commit to a vision that I had was slowly growing within me was when Houseplant launched to the world. So when I started with working with Seth and with Houseplant, they were pre-launch. So we were just developing the whole idea, the concept. And in March 2021, it finally launched out into the world. And everything sold out in 24 hours. You know, we were in the New York Times style section, Fast Company. Seth was on all the late night talk shows, showing the products that I had led the development of. And, you know, we were all congratulating each other. It was a huge win. It was definitely like a career highlight for me. But there was a part of me that felt sad. And now, to feel sad when you're getting pats on the back, there's definitely something going on there. And so I started to question that, like, why am I feeling like this? And I realized it was because I was helping Seth bring his vision to life when there was a vision that I had that I wasn't allowing out, that I wasn't giving time to, that I had sort of pushed aside, right? And that was a huge awakening for me, because it was this moment where I realized, like, if you're going to talk about this, about, you know, women stepping into their purpose, you have to do it for yourself, as scary as it may be, you know? And so it's at that moment I decided to talk to my, you know, team about transitioning to a part-time role. So again, it wasn't like one of those moments where I like walked into the office and said, I quit, I'm off to build my empire. You know, it was a more practical approach, but it was like an action towards my dream. And so, you know, luckily they were game for that. They understood where I was coming from. I transitioned to part-time and I started to put the pieces together of what I wanted to create with All You Are. And so it's still very much evolving, but I think like the main mission for All You Are is exactly that, for to empower, inspire, activate women to step into all they are and to like claim what it is that they really want for themselves and for their lives. Forget about what other people tell you success is and define your own success, and then have the courage in community, because it's hard to be courageous on your own. You would know this so well as a coach, to like cultivate that courage and that belief in yourself and that trust in yourself to then go and like claim that life that you desire. And that's what All You Are really is about.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, I think there's so many moments in your journey where you could have made some different choices.
Yeah.
And yet you chose a path that was almost like a calling. Has intuition played a significant role in your evolution? Or, yeah, were you guided? How did you know to follow this path to end where you are?
Yes, that's such a it's such a profound question, because I do think that there was a moment when everything seemed to be falling apart around me. And, you know, usually when things are falling apart, you have the people that you go to who have the answers for you. Like you have those friends who know to tell you what to do or support you in your decision, even like maybe your parents or a trusted mentor or aunt or uncle. And I realized when I was going through all that, that nobody could help me. Like nobody could, they could support me and love me and be there for me, but they could not help me figure out my path, how to look at this situation, how to feel better, right? They couldn't really help me with that. And I think when I started to see that I couldn't easily get the answers from outside of me, it forced me to go inward. It forced me to say, well, then they must be somewhere inside of me, you know? And again, not that I think you do this alone. Like I worked with therapist for many years. You know, I read so many spiritual books. So really, they were my teachers through the books that I read or the audio, you know, DVDs at that time that I listened to, now podcast. But I really like cultivated that inner knowing through that process of realizing, oh, I can't find the answers out there. Let me see if I can find them in here.
Mm-hmm. Is there a practice that you use? Is there a modality that you rely on? Because I think that that's such a gap for so many women is being able to tap inwards. And I have a lot of theories about why, but I'm curious to hear how you do it. And then, you know, maybe we can explain why we don't.
Yes, yes. So I think I also kind of stumbled upon the ways to hearing that voice. And, you know, I've always been a journaler. So that's something that supported me since I was a child. I have like diaries from the time I was a child. So I always would, you know, put my pen to paper. And that for me was a way. And I've learned since that is like, there is, you know, research that shows that it's like you're mirroring your thoughts onto the page and then it helps you process them differently than when they're all in your head. So for sure, journaling is one. But then I think what you said about we don't give ourselves the space, right? Like, and what I found that I started naturally doing when I was going through that difficult time was I would go for walks. And, you know, I don't think I would even go like listening to music or anything like that. I would just go out the door. Like it was just like, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling stressed. I need to go out the door. And I would walk. And in those walks, I would find somehow like peace. I would find some space. I was moving, right? So it was moving the energy that might have been stuck in me if I was just trying to figure it all out in my mind. And I always came back from those walks with a little bit more like breathing room around what I was struggling with. And through that, I was able to gain clarity. So I think like since then, of course, I've developed meditation practices as well. But walking, journaling, meditating for me are three that really have supported me. Yes.
They seem therapy. Well, yeah. God bless therapists.
Yeah.
And they seem to be, those seem to be sort of the fab three, like the three sort of powerhouses or secrets to really being able to tap in. Can we come back to this idea of belonging? It is one that's near and dear to my heart. And I think it's one that I, as an entrepreneur, and actually even as a little girl and teen and adult, have struggled with. One of the things I've learned and was sort of one of those, you know, wake up moments in my life is that we bring belonging with us. Others don't make us feel like we belong. How are you cultivating that for you now? Or are you, or is that still an underlying sort of theme in your life?
Oh, that's such a good question. And especially because I have a daughter now who's turning 7, you know, I have one daughter. And so I think about this a lot for her. You know, I think back to that time and maybe, and this is not to blame my parents or anything, my mom was as supportive as she knew how to be, but I think I might have been better supported through that feeling of rejection, right? Like I think for parents, like for my parents, it was more like, how can we fix this? Like, how can we make it so that you do belong? Right. But that like understanding of you belong no matter what, like these, if this group of girls don't make you feel like you belong, that doesn't mean that you don't belong. Right. So I think I had to learn that very slowly, a little bit the hard way over the years. And, you know, I think like that term self-love is, it can be overused, but I think when we learn what it really means, you know, like I think for me, self-love has steps in when I feel that still that sense of like that childlike feeling of like, oh, I feel like I don't belong. I don't feel like I'm not good enough to be here. The self-love that I've developed steps in, it takes over. And I hope that I can now pass that tool and that belief onto my own daughter.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I notice when my daughter is sort of saying things, I'm like, wait a minute, I remember feeling like that. And yes, I can't fix it, but I do now have some tools. And I, you know, with everything that you've done, there's this continual sort of theme of meeting adversity and rising and sort of conquering it, if you will. And you've experienced and been a part of some incredible business growth journeys over your career. What part of those journeys have been the most challenging? Is it working in a team, going out on your own? You know, you were acquired by another company. Like,
I think for me personally, the challenge has been always finding, I think all the challenges that I've taken on have been a way for me to self-actualize, meaning like I was always looking for the challenge that would bring out the best in me, that would bring forward my greatest gifts, that would make me feel like I was serving at my highest level. Mm-hmm. So in a weird way, there was no challenge that was like, okay, the team part or the, you know, business problem part, like none of that, those were never the big challenges. It was always the sense of, is this it? Is this it? Is this the thing that I'm meant to do? Is this the thing where I'm supposed to pour myself into? I've always had this feeling, and maybe it is because of the personal challenges I've gone through. I'm always seeking deeper meaning. Like I want whatever I'm doing to have this depth of meaning. And so I think that has been my challenge.
Whoa. That's tricky.
Yeah.
That's kind of tricky. Well, but I think that journey of self-actualization is one that never ends.
That's right. It never ends.
What was it like for Bricka to be acquired?
So that was such an interesting journey. So I actually had left Bricka before it was officially acquired. We had started Bricka as a curated marketplace, curated shopping experience, you know, in the wake of Etsy, essentially, like wanting to create a more highly elevated experience, but with maker and artisan made goods. And so we started with online, then we started opening pop-up shops. We opened our own stores on Queen. But, you know, the business model, when you're working with artisan made goods and you're essentially the middleman, is tricky. Like the margin is slim. And in the end, you are competing like, you know, this beautiful $28 linen tea towel versus whatever the tea towels you can get at Walmart or, you know, wherever. Right. And so, you know, that was definitely a bit of a challenge. But where we did see an opportunity was that we did get very excellent at executing these pop-ups. And the whole term pop-up, I think, really came about around that time. And so the fact that we were like, popping up all over the place, people started coming to us and saying, can you show us how to do this? Or can you do this for us? And that's where we saw an opportunity to take the model and pivot it towards a B2B service. And we started offering pop-ups as a service. And that it's around that time that I transitioned out because my love is B2C. It is like creating experiences for customers, for clients, and very much focused on the brand side of things. So I transitioned out. But, you know, I think I was very proud of my co-founder for getting it there and allowing it to live on. And, you know, we had a huge impact as a small company, and it feels really good.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know you're incredibly busy. I've got two questions and then I'm going to let you go. The first is, you know, you've had such a fascinating journey through triumphs and tribulations and challenges and heartbreak and success. And what do you know now, Kena, that you didn't know when you started?
Oh, you know, I think I have this group program for women, and the first session, you know, the first like main session, what I focus on is this idea of self-trust. And I think that that's what I wish I had known, is that you're not going to know the way always. It's going to feel very messy. It's going to feel very foggy. You're going to be feeling around in the dark, but just trust yourself, right? Trust that you will ask the questions you need. Trust that you will like listen to that inner voice, your knowing. And that also, if you choose wrong or if you don't do something, quote unquote, right, trust yourself to find your way back, right? Trust yourself to lead yourself to a better place every time. And that's sort of, for me, what now, when I reflect back, I see that. I see how I always did lead myself to a better place. I always did make a decision that took me to like not only, you know, an externally kind of validating better place, but also mm-hmm. internally how I feel about myself and my life and all of those things. And now whenever I feel a sense of trepidation about something that comes next, I remind myself, you could trust yourself, just make the call, you know? Yeah. So I think that would be it.
Well, and I think trust is such a major issue, especially in the women that I work with. And, you know, trust pops up when it comes to making the big move, when it comes to hiring and letting go, the different pieces of running your business, trusting that if you put yourself out there, you know, through visibility, credibility, raising your rates. I mean, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think, right, like you've got to go back and look at the evidence of all those moments where you thought this is it. And yet here you are today, a better human being than you were then through that growth and evolution that you're talking about. So that's amazing. And then what's next? What's next for you? What's next for all you are?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I am the most excited that I honestly have ever been in my career, because I have spent the last year really trying a lot of things, you know, kind of having fun exploring and putting together different programs and leading these amazing women through the programs. And I feel like I am just the vision that I have for more and more women, like, you know, not to sound cliche, but really owning their power and making decisions from that place of power. I just feel strongly that the whole world dynamic would change if all women were able to do this. And the thing is, I think that there's like this misconception, because we think of power as like, I'm in the C-suite, so I have power. But that doesn't necessarily mean power if it's not aligned with what it is that you want, or you know what I mean? Like, so mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot of women who have very senior level positions, and they're just like, wait, is this all there is? You know? And so to me, power is, again, going back to what am I here for? Right? And what do I want to contribute? And what are my greatest gifts? And how do I want to live? And what does success look like for me? Getting clear on those things and then going and getting those things. That to me, if we all did that, the world would just look completely different.
And so is all you are going to be looking different going forward?
Yes, I think it's going to be just about elevating the experiences that I've created so far and enriching them and growing.
Terrific. Terrific. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know people are going to want to follow you. They're going to want to learn about your programs. They're going to want to read more about you. Where should we be sending people so they can find you?
So they can find me on my website, allyouare.ca. So that's pretty easy. And you can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is just my name, Kena Paranjape. And on Instagram, it's at Kena, K-E-N-A, underscore all you are.
Terrific. We will put those in the show notes so that it's easy for our listeners to go grab and connect. And I can't thank you enough for your time today. Thank you for sharing.
I'm so happy to be here. And it was a really beautiful conversation.
Well, thank you for being so open. I look forward to talking to you again.
Me too.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Seven. If you found value in what you've heard today, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review. You might just get a shout out on an upcoming episode. And you never know when I'm going to be mailing some surprise treats to our reviewers. Make sure to subscribe so you automatically get notified when new episodes are released. Are you looking for a way to connect with other entrepreneurs that are facing the same challenges as you? I'd love to connect with you in the Road to Seven Facebook group on Instagram and LinkedIn. Just head to SheilaCummins.com. You will find all the links that you need right there. Together, we'll explore more ways to support your shift into action so that you can grow your business to finally match your vision. I love aligning your vision of success with strategic and intentional actions, because that is how we will grow your business to match your vision. I focus on women, all women, because women hold the keys and the power to creating a powerful and positive world through their impact. We'll see you on the next episode.